Hello, and welcome to It's Public Knowledge. My name is Kari.
And my name is Vanessa. And this is a podcast about some things that a class we're taking got us thinking about. It all started in the President's Dream Colloquium about making knowledge public at Simon Fraser University.
Today, we're going to be talking about one of my very favorite topics, absurd things about social science research. Believe it or not, it's really quite fascinating. Stick around and you'll find out why I think it's such an interesting subject.
First, I'm going to give you a little bit of background. In the Making Knowledge Public class, the focus has been about how research, knowledge, and work done in public universities should and can be more available and accessible to everyone. Most research is carried out by a few academics who then primarily communicate about their research by publishing in journals that are only available to and read by a few other academics.
Yes, this is the status quo. But luckily, there are people trying to change that.
Yes.
Universities are publicly funded, and therefore the public has a right or should have a right to access the research being produced by them. Not to mention that publicly funded universities should also be more accessible to attend. Mm-hmm. We also talked about other ways that people are able to get involved in research, things like citizen science projects, where members of the public can get involved in science research through the planning, collecting, and analyzing data, and then being part of using the research to shape laws and policies.
Yeah, these are all some really great initiatives. Our main question has been, how accessible are all of these new programs and initiatives for everyone in society? We got interested in the people who cannot easily access journals and research, who may face challenges attending university or participating in citizen science, like you mentioned. Basically, we figured that the goal of making knowledge public should really extend to everyone, regardless of income, regardless of age and ability, and regardless of where they live.
Yep. And we'll get back to some of those specific issues in other episodes. Today, however, we're going to talk about another ethical conundrum within access and accessing research, mm-hmm. which is particular to social science research, and that is because the research topics involve human beings and their experiences. Mm-hmm. The problem is that those same people who have been sources of data, basically, are likely to not be able to access research they were involved in. This is an idiosyncrasy in psychology research in particular.
Really? Psychology has idiosyncrasies?
Yeah, who'd have thought?
So how did you get to thinking about psychology research?
Oh, yeah. Turns out that's what I'm always doing pretty much at the moment anyway. Educational psychology is my background. I'm currently working on research for my PhD in education. My focus is on autism research and other sort of developmental disabilities, that mm-hmm. sort of thing, but primarily autism. And that is very much a science or a psychology sort of area. You can't research in that without running into psychology.
Right.
However, I have to qualify. I am not entirely comfortable with psychology's approach to the people they study.
Mm. Why would that be?
Oh, there's a lot of reasons. But let me start. Let me count the ways. I will give you an example.
Cool.
So I was recently working on submitting an abstract to a conference, one of the big conferences. Mm-hmm. It's going to remain unnamed. Mm-hmm. It doesn't really matter which one it was because this is very standard for all types of conferences of this kind.
Okay.
So it doesn't really matter which one it was. And I'm not, going after this particular conference. It's more of the sort of problematic that it's presenting.
Right.
So I was going through the conditions for submission, trying to figure out where to upload and da da da.
Yeah.
And under the conditions, there's these two interesting points that you have to fulfill in order for your research to be sort of qualified there. First of all, any human or any work with human or animal subjects that are reported in the research have to comply with ethical standards, basically. So basically any research that is going to be presented or submitted for the conference has to have passed ethics approval before it was done, which is, that seems fair.
Sure. Yeah.
Thankfully it's there, right? The other point, though, is for authors. It says each author has to have given consent in order to have their work submitted to the conference. Mm-hmm. And there's a little sentence there that says that each author will automatically receive notice when an abstract has been submitted, mm-hmm. And they'll be able to view that anytime. So I was just really struck by sort of the difference with which the different people involved in research were, addressed in those points.
Yeah, it really sounds like there's more attention put on the intellectual property rights of authors rather than the human rights of those about who the research is being done.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. As you picked up on there, authors will be notified if their intellectual property is being presented at a conference. However, there, of course, is no condition for human subjects being notified that they're data
human subjects, quote unquote.
Exactly. Yeah. We're using air quotes here. It's a little hard to see. Human subjects will not be notified. So, I mean, that is, of course, it's not illegal in any way. It's standard procedure. And human subjects, again, with quotes, have been already covered, you know, presumably, because they would definitely have signed consent forms and that sort of thing. So they're living up to ethics standards. My question is if those standards really are the right ones, right? So basically, a consent form has been signed, and then thereby the person being studied has given up all of their rights to the data about themselves, more or less. Right. And the question is, do they realize the bigger picture of what that means, right? The data that they've given up rights to then is being published places where they don't likely have access to.
Right.
And also the question is then, are they welcome at this conference? Well, they might be. And also, I guarantee that the researchers attending the conference with their data have had an opportunity to apply for grants to cover their travel and conference expenses, that sort of thing. The human subjects, probably not.
Right.
And this is a problem, I think.
Do you think that this is true for all people who participate in social science research?
Well, yeah, I do think it is.
Okay.
But I think that it's particularly problematic for lots of the areas of research that sort of psychology is about, such as cognitive disability, psychiatric and developmental disabilities. People that are diagnosed with this type of disability are in very sort of powerless positions generally. Research ends up being done often in a way that does not involve the participants in a meaningful part of the process.
Right.
There's definitely a power imbalance there.
Right.
There's a question of how much each person is actually understanding with the informed consent the way it is. There's a question maybe of whether, you know, I, as an academic or as a researcher, even when I was getting into this, I'm still getting into it. I was surprised at the intricacies of, you know, and of how different types of data and different places where it's, you know, disseminated and all this sort of thing, how all of that worked. So somebody who's not deeply involved in research and academia definitely is not going to sort of know that, you know, bigger structural piece.
Right.
And then, you know, I think that psychology research done about people with this type of disability are often treats them as if they're not really reliable sources of knowledge about anything, definitely not about themselves.
Right.
And
doesn't make sense.
No, really it doesn't if you think about it. And therefore they're not really involved as a collaborative part of the process.
Right.
However, it's also an issue for social science research generally, definitely on research on, and I'm using, again, quotes, because it's not with people. It specifically is on people.
Right.
In vulnerable or low power positions generally, and to a certain extent at least, a lot of times research about people living in the global south.
And I also know that a lot of psychology research is done with undergraduate students as the quote unquote subjects.
Yeah.
And they might not have access later to the studies that they were part of either.
That is true, yes.
Yeah.
It is.
So who do you think this problem negatively affects the most?
Well, it's not great for anyone, including those undergraduates. But it's especially relevant, I think, for research being done that creates policies or treatments, for example, that's going to affect persons with the disability or diagnosis. A lot of that is what the research is about in the end. They provided data then for experts to be able to draw their own conclusions and use as they want to, and other experts to come in and, you know, build on these same data, these same results in a lot of ways that, you know, even if they did fully understand and consent to the data in that particular study, you don't really have any sort of power about or knowledge about how that data is going to be used in further studies either.
Right.
So you're like, a small puzzle piece in this much bigger picture that's really hard to, you know, predict or know anything about.
Yeah.
So there will be other people making important decisions about the lives of the person that are described in the research. And often those decisions are really things that the person in question are quite powerless to do anything about. Mm-hmm. So it's really a huge ethical dilemma, I think.
No kidding. So in all of your research and your own experiences and gathering all this info, what do you think that the research community can do to start approaching this issue?
Ooh, that's a good one. You're asking about solutions now, and I'm much better at just pointing out problems.
I can't help it.
For starters, I mentioned collaborative participation in research, yeah. And I think there could be a lot more about that. There is some starting collaborative research where you involve the people that you're researching, and then you would hopefully, if you were doing collaborative research, you would be careful to say doing research with and not on, and that's right. A really, really important difference.
Totally.
So you have people sort of involved from the very beginning of the process, talking about, or you know, even to determine what is a relevant research topic, what's a relevant questions about and about them and about their situation. Definitely more access to data all through the research process, I believe, including maybe a policy of checking back with people who participated. I think it would be great to do that even before publishing if the people disagree. Exactly right. It would certainly change the research process.
That would change. It'd be a total game changer.
It would indeed. Yeah. And then if people disagree, it's not that you shouldn't publish, but it might be nice to at least have that as part of what you publish, right? That you have, you're getting something different out of this, statement or this data than the people, who you did it about.
Yeah, absolutely.
Definitely making research available to all the people who participated. Of course, if all research was made publicly available and open access, then this would be no problem because everyone could access it. Also maybe requiring researchers as part of the ethics as well to publish their findings in everyday language as well as academic journals so that it's not just people with a, you know, graduate degree in psychology that can understand.
Yeah, those are really good points. And we've talked a lot about these things in our Making Knowledge Public course. And it really seems like it's going to be a long process, but there are definitely people out there starting to make these steps. And so I have hope.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of hopeful signs as well.
Yeah.
I think at least within autism, there's a lot more self-advocacy, a lot more adults with diagnosis that are getting involved, also with other developmental disabilities, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So that helps. There's also a lot of researchers who are beginning more and more to see that it's important to involve people in different and more meaningful ways. Absolutely. But in some ways, it comes down to, you know, burn it all down and start over, because these are actually pretty big structural changes that would have to happen.
I mean, I guess one of the points of our Making Knowledge Public course is to start these kinds of dialogues and to bring up these issues in the public. And so we hope that this podcast episode will even have a small part in that.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
This is just the tip of the iceberg, even if we're just talking about this topic.
Yeah.
So basically, tune in again and hear about further dilemmas.
Yeah, no kidding. So in our next episodes, we're going to focus on other access issues for other groups of people. We're mainly focusing on people who are deaf, deafblind, and hard of hearing, as well as people who are blind. We're actually going to have a chat with someone who is experiencing post-secondary education as a person who is blind.
Oh, I can't wait to hear that.
Yeah, that's going to be super interesting. And we're going to take these themes that Kari has explored in this episode, and we're going to apply it to research being done with quote-unquote human subjects, air quotes, who are deaf, deafblind, and or hard of hearing, as well as just accessibility issues they may face in academia. And we also are planning to make transcriptions of our episodes available to people who download our episodes that they can be accessible for everybody.
We're working on it.
Yeah.
Yep. So basically, that's all we have for you today.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining us on Is Public Knowledge.
Until next time.